today, hours after President Trump declared a national emergency due to the pandemic.
The bill provides free testing for the coronavirus, 2 weeks of paid leave, expanded unemployment benefits, and more. Texas Republican Kevin Brady called the bill a big step toward America's rebound from the coronavirus pandemic.
While today's bill is not perfect, it is another step in the right direction towards safety and security and a revitalized economy.
The bill now goes to the Senate, which is expected to take it up as soon as Monday. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
As President Trump had been in contact with two people in Mar-a-Lago who later tested positive for coronavirus, White House Dr. Sean Conley said late Friday that Trump did not require testing or quarantine, calling his exposure low risk. But earlier, Trump said he most likely would be tested. I'm Barbara Cusack. Coronavirus cluster zones like New Rochelle and New York are employing drive-through testing. Governor Andrew Cuomo explained the benefits.
It's not only faster and easier, it's also smarter and safer because you're not exposing people to a person who may be positive.
Our John Pop tells us AT&T, Verizon, and Comcast are joining other telecom providers to aid Americans who are out of work or school because of the coronavirus.
The three major providers have joined others and agreed to an FCC request not to shut off phone and internet service for those who are unable to pay their bills. The carriers agreed that for the next 60 days, they would not stop service or charge late fees. They also agreed to open Wi-Fi hotspots to Americans who need them.
And as a ban on travelers coming into the U.S. from 26 European countries kicked in today, the World Health Organization said Europe is the new epicenter of the pandemic. I'm Barbara Cusack.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising. This ad is sponsored by Case Legal Media. Attention. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter implanted in your body to prevent blood clots to your heart or lungs, you may be entitled to financial compensation. The FDA has issued a warning to all IVC filter patients. These IVC filters may break, puncturing veins or organs, causing serious injuries, including heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, even death. Even if you've not experienced any injury at this time, the IVC filters are considered a ticking time bomb by many. Call now for a free legal consultation at 800-261-4118. There are no fees unless you get a settlement. Since 2005, there have been thousands of injuries associated with IVC filters. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-261-4118 now to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply. Call 800-261-4118. That's 800-261-4118. Again, 800-261-4118.
Pro sports taking a major league hit thanks to coronavirus.
In Florida, the Masters has been shut down until further notice. PGA star Jason Day.
Right now, everyone is nervous about what has been going around, but I think it's the necessary steps that need to be taken.
The NCAA says no Final Four, which brought this reaction from Villanova Wildcats head coach Jay Wright.
This is a big issue in our country, and it's serious, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Major League Baseball canceled spring training and delayed opening day by at least 2 weeks. The Boston Marathon won't be run until September 14th, but the NFL still hopes its draft can take place April 23rd in Las Vegas. I'm Pat Piper.
Coronavirus restrictions in Italy have become so severe that the simple pleasure of a walk in the park is now off limits as mayors close public playgrounds and parks as of today. I'm Barbara Cusack.
I'm Chris Riccobono, founder of Untuckit. I started Untuckit because, like a lot of other guys, I just couldn't find a shirt that looked great untucked. That's why we created the perfect untucked shirt with that just right length. We have over 50 fits for all shapes and sizes, so you can look sharp even at your most casual. Try the original untucked shirt at one of 85 Untuckit stores worldwide or at untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Use promo code RADIO for 20% off your first purchase.
This is the story of Julie Guillot. She's a Leukemia and Lymphoma Society advocate and the mother of a child who battled blood cancer.
Zach was diagnosed with AML, a deadly leukemia, when he was only 5. He died at just 9 years old, really from the treatment that was meant to save him.
Today, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society is pioneering breakthrough treatments for kids with cancer. Visit lls.org and save a child's life. Furnished by LLS.
An earlier accident on southbound 95 Maryland, right at 195 exit 47 has been cleared. All travel lanes have been reopened. Now, there is a new accident reported in Bowie, westbound on 50 at 301, blocking the two left lanes, so use caution and stay to your right there. And also keep in mind that there is still some accident activity that has Pennsylvania Avenue closed and northbound between Donnell Drive and Walters Lane for the next few hours. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Mostly cloudy and cooler on this Saturday. High temperatures today in the upper 50s. Rain develops after sunset tonight. Lows in the mid-30s in the outlying suburbs, lower 40s downtown. Morning showers on Sunday. They should end in the late morning. Some late-day clearing, highs in the lower 50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
The U.S. Supreme Court was established on the principles of fairness, dignity, and impartiality. But it's really a mess. I'm Leon Nathok, and I want to tell you about a new show I'm working on called 5-4.
Nine justices that compose the Supreme Court are not the smartest people in the country.
No.
We are.
That's right.
Every week, Peter, Rhiannon, and Michael are going to take on a legally dubious Supreme Court decision. Listen and subscribe to 5-4, free wherever you get your podcasts, from the Westwood One Podcast Network, where the conversation starts.
Hi, this is Eric Stewart. If you've been playing with the idea of selling your home or maybe downsizing, well, tune in to my show Sunday mornings right here at 8 a.m. There I'll bring you this week's local real estate news and what you need to do to get top dollar for your property. With over 30 years of experience and the backing of Long & Foster, one of the top real estate companies, I've pretty much seen and sold it all. To learn more, check us out on the web at ericstewartgroup.com.
Looking to refinance? This is Larry O'Connor, and my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial are the mortgage professionals that I recommend. Call Mark at 202-625-1221, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com.
The SGK Gun Show returns to the Fredericksburg Expo and Conference Center Saturday and Sunday, March 14th and 15th. Guns, knives, ammo, and more. That's the SGK Gun Show, Saturday and Sunday, March 14th and 15th. Details and coupons at sgkva.com.
On June 18th, 1983, Sally Ride became the first American woman in space. She was also NASA's youngest astronaut, working as the flight engineer aboard the Shuttle Challenger.
I realized that I was making history, and that's made the whole thing very special.
Her legacy continues with Sally Ride Science, an organization that encourages all children to study engineering and math. We salute pioneering astronaut Sally Ride.
Cumulus Media and WMAL celebrate Women's History Month.
All you want to do is catch the evening news, but the kids are in the middle of an epic gaming session. When watching the news isn't an option, listen with the TuneIn app. Hear local stories from WMAL and national networks like Fox News Talk for free. Go to your app store to download TuneIn today.
Can a tree change a life? At Trees for the Future, we believe trees make all the difference in the fight against poverty, hunger, and climate change. Through a proven permaculture method called the Forest Garden Approach, Trees for the Future has positively impacted over 26,000 farmers and their children. Are you ready to leave a lasting impact on the world? Find out how to plant seeds of hope this season at trees.org/radio. That's trees.org/radio.
Men are raving about Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. The results will not go unnoticed. You can get Ageless Male Tonight without a prescription and without sharing your private info on the web. No questionnaires, no online tests. Just get to your local Walmart or 7-Eleven and see results tonight.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, and our producer this morning. And quite a 24-hour period in the story on the coronavirus, how it impacts us here in the Washington area, how it is impacting the United States, and how it is impacting the world. A little more of a positive or upbeat note this morning in spite of what's been going on. Two things. There was a significant press conference at the White House yesterday. It went on for over an hour in the Rose Garden, and the president was flanked by members of his task force and by members of the business community, leaders in the medical field, the CEOs of Walmart, Target, CVS, all coming together. Very specific plans were laid out in that press conference, and I think that left the week in a more positive direction in terms of the administration's response to the coronavirus. And in the wee hours of this morning, Republicans and Democrats came together, passing legislation in the House to address the response to the coronavirus. Now, the House passed the relief plan early this morning. There had been hours of talks between Democrats and the Trump administration on how to blunt the economic damage of the global pandemic on the United States. It's a 110-page bill. It will provide relief to consumers and workers who have been walloped by the outbreak. Now, the vote was 363-40 with one abstention. That's an overwhelming vote in the House of Representatives these days. The legislation now heads to the Senate. Of course, they left Washington for the weekend, so they'll not have a chance to approve it until next week. In a statement early this morning, I mean after midnight, after the House passed the bill, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said the following: "Senators will need to carefully review the proposal, but I believe the vast majority of senators in both parties will agree we should act swiftly to secure relief for American workers, families, and small businesses." Those are the words of Speaker McConnell early this morning. Now, at the press conference Friday afternoon, President Trump referenced the ongoing negotiations between House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin. They were in those negotiations throughout the afternoon and evening. Now, at about 8:40 this evening, or I should say Friday evening, the president tweeted this: "I fully support H.R. 6201, Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which will be voted on in the House this evening. The bill will follow my direction for free coronavirus tests and paid sick leave for our impacted American workers. I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury and the Secretary of Labor to issue regulations that will provide flexibility so that in no way will small businesses be hurt. I encourage all Republicans and Democrats to come together and vote yes. I will always put the health and well-being of American families first. Look forward to signing the bill ASAP." The tweet from President Trump last night around 8:40. At about 10:10 last night, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer met with reporters at the U.S. Capitol. Here's what Speaker Pelosi had to say about the legislation.
"We put families first with paid sick leave, paid sick days, family medical leave, unemployment insurance for the children. Maybe over 20 million children get their meals at school. They have food insecurity, and this bill addresses that, as well as food for our seniors and others who depend on that, and again, filling food banks as well. And we want an important court decision on all of that today. And then other issues that relate to three things: testing, testing, and testing. We should see the executive branch execute this legislation. So we're really very proud of that work."
And in a rare mention of bipartisanship, the speaker continued,
"We thought it would be important to show the American people, to assure the American people, that we are willing and able to work together to get a job done for them. So we thank our Republicans, those who will be supporting the bill. We appreciate the president joining us with his tweet, but we are very excited about the prospect."
And Steny Hoyer added on with a little more detail about that legislation and what it means.
The speaker, as all of you know, because you've been in the hallways walking around and what's happening this second, she and Secretary Mnuchin obviously have worked very, very hard to come to this agreement. Last week, we passed legislation to deal with the immediate health challenges caused by the coronavirus. We passed legislation for research, for mitigation of illness, for many things that were the direct result of the illness itself or the virus itself. Tonight, we're going to be passing legislation which deals with the related economic consequences to people in a very real way, to their employment, to their ability to support themselves and pay their bills, care for their children. In Maryland, as you know, the schools are going to be shut down. The governor took that action, again, to help distance people.
So that is the very latest from Capitol Hill last night and, of course, the president's tweet earlier Friday evening. Some interesting numbers to report to you. We're going to get to those next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray is in the WML Traffic Center this morning.
Watch out for an accident now in Maryland in Bowie on westbound 50 at Route 301. You will find the two left lanes closed with this incident, so stay to your right and use caution. Earlier accident on southbound 95 at 195 completely cleared away. Do keep in mind in Virginia, the 395 express lanes, HOV lanes, will be closed in both directions for the weekend between Etzel Road and the 14th Street Bridge. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy and cooler on this Saturday. High temperatures today in the upper 50s. Rain develops after sunset tonight. Lows in the mid-30s in the outlying suburbs. Lower 40s downtown. Morning showers on Sunday. They should end in the late morning. Some late day clearing. Highs in the lower 50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
6:17 on the Saturday morning update on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
I'm Rick Fowler. It's good to have you with us on the Saturday morning update. And some notes on numbers I want to get into for a moment, and then we'll get into some of the highlights from the press conference yesterday afternoon. But as I mentioned last week, I typically have CNN on in the background in the 5 a.m. hour, just seeing what's going on in their world. And, of course, the blazing red chyron there on the lower third is the coronavirus pandemic. Of course, they're listing the total number of confirmed cases around the world and the death toll around the world. That's your basic CNN imagery in the 5 o'clock hour. Why don't we put it in perspective, though? These numbers are from the Johns Hopkins Center for Systems Science and Engineering website. It's their COVID-19 global cases website. And as of about midnight last night, there were 145,000 plus confirmed cases around the globe. What CNN didn't report was that 71,694 people have recovered so far. That's nearly 50% of those who had a confirmed case of coronavirus. Almost 50% have recovered. CNN chose to focus on the 5,429 people who have died around the world, which is about 3% of the total number of confirmed cases. In the United States, there are 2,174 confirmed cases around the U.S. and 47 deaths so far in the United States. Keep those numbers in perspective. Now, good news out of Montgomery County. Probably won't hear this in the mainstream media. Press release came out from the Montgomery County government last night. There are 6 cases of COVID-19 in Montgomery County, but the first 3 county residents with those confirmed cases are now fully recovered and are no longer contagious. So we heard so much about COVID-19 in Montgomery County. Now we want to hear so much that 3 county residents are now fully recovered and are no longer contagious. That word from the Montgomery County government last night. So again, let us keep it in perspective. If you've been to the grocery stores, you've seen the run on fresh chicken, bananas, anything paper, toilet paper, paper towels, all pretty much out. They'll be restocked, but a sense of the panic that people have felt over this. There was the press conference, though, at the White House. We're going to get to that in a second. Once, the, you know, so many things have been said by governors, so many governors responding. This just an interesting quick clip from Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, as he put it in perspective.
I want to assure the people of Texas that we're going to make it through this. We've been through situations like this before. We made it through SARS. We made it through Ebola. We made it through H1N1. This is not a death sentence we're dealing with here.
This is not a death sentence we're dealing with here. And an interesting statement from the governor of Texas. It's 6:21 on the Saturday morning update. And again, yesterday, a significant press conference at the White House. And the president declared a national emergency. And here is how he presented it to the nation.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency. Two very big words. The action I am taking will open up access to up to $50 billion of, very important and a large amount of money for states and territories and localities in our shared fight against this disease.
And again, keep in mind, a national emergency, when it's declared, it is often looked at somewhat positively by people. It was certainly looked at positively by the stock market. The market soared yesterday on the president's press conference and a number of the announcements that he made in that press conference. That's another number that I didn't see up on CNN this morning between 5 and 6, the fact that the market closed 1,985 points higher than it closed on Thursday. The market up 1,985 points. That's 9.4%. It was the Dow's biggest point gain ever. Keep that number in perspective. And we'll see a roller coaster. They're going to go up and down, but Friday, the market up in the biggest ever point gain. Now, a lot of what the president announced yesterday had to do with the private sector and the way that the government is working very closely with the private sector. And here's how the president explained it.
Today, we're announcing a new partnership with private sector to vastly increase and accelerate our capacity to test for the coronavirus. We want to make sure that those who need a test can get a test very safely, quickly, and conveniently. But we don't want people to take a test if we feel that they shouldn't be doing it. And we don't want everyone running out and taking only if you have certain symptoms.
And that is something that is very important to keep in mind, that there is a limited number of tests. And again, it relates to symptoms. Now, the president went on and was very reassuring, I believe, to the nation. There have been a lot of question marks about his Oval Office address earlier in the week, in the evening, but much of that criticism put to rest yesterday. And here's how the president continued.
Our overriding goal is to stop the spread of the virus and to help all Americans who have been impacted by this. Again, we don't want everybody taking this test. It's totally unnecessary. And this will pass. This will pass through, and we're going to be even stronger for it. We've learned a lot. A tremendous amount has been.
And that's President Trump yesterday. And I must say that it's been a week of negative news and not much levity in the news. But the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary Alex Azar, was there at the press conference yesterday. And there was a brief moment of lightness.
You want to wash your hands. You want to keep distance from people. And if you're around someone sick, keep away from them. This is basic, basic public health. Now, these guys are selling a lot of toilet paper. I don't know there seems to. Tony, do you need to give some guidance that toilet paper is not an effective protection against getting the coronavirus? They're selling out. But they have soap and water, hot water, soap, 20 seconds.
I guess that's as much humor as you can find at a press conference on coronavirus, but that was yesterday at the White House. It's 6:25 on the Saturday morning update. We'll be talking with Jennifer Harper coming up shortly. We can get kind of a read on how the public is reacting around the country. We're going to talk with Nicole Fisher. She's an expert on health policy, and we're going to talk with Nicole on several of the aspects of the coronavirus, especially the deregulation of the telemedicine industry. And it's a very interesting component. It's something you're going to hear a lot about. You're hearing about it already, but we're going to be hearing more about what that means to the efforts to combat and to treat the coronavirus. John Gizzi will join us around 7:05. John was at the White House for that press conference yesterday. Cheryl Atkinson joins us, and she'll have an interesting look at the numbers when it comes to the coronavirus. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us around 7:35, and we'll be talking with Tony about developments in Iraq this week, and also his angle on the coronavirus and what it means for us and national security. And KT McFarland will join us later on as well this morning. And I want to get a read from KT on the China component to this discussion. So many of our products come out of China, and she is the former Deputy National Security Advisor. We'll have an interesting read on that for us. So it's all coming up here on the Saturday Morning Update.
Come aboard! The National Capital Boat Show is coming to the Dulles Expo Center March 13th through the 15th. This is a must-see show for all boating enthusiasts, featuring a large selection of boats at every budget. Take advantage of special show-only prices and incentives. Find unbeatable pricing on gear, accessories, and more. Everything you need to get on the water. All of this and more at the National Capital Boat Show March 13th through the 15th at the Dulles Expo Center. Save time. Buy tickets online at nationalcapitalboatshow.com.
The 82-inch Samsung 4K TV. It came out at over $3,700, but we're going to sell every one we have for over 50% off. Just $1,599. Only at the Big Screen Store.
At the Big Screen Store, our prices beat Best Buy and online guaranteed. Plus, we double the Samsung warranty, and you get delivery and installation installed by pros on your schedule. Not even Amazon can do that. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store is your motion furniture headquarters with innovative furniture featuring power headrests, full power recline, USB ports, lighting and accessories, power lumbar support, plus an incredible selection. The Big Screen Store.
The 82-inch Samsung 4K TV. It came out at over $3,700, but we're going to sell every one we have for over 50% off. Just $1,599. Only at the Big Screen Store.
Michael and son.
Is that my new water heater?
Yes, ma'am. And since you're leasing it from us for only $19 a month, you'll never have to worry about your water heater again.
What's the water heater cost?
Nothing. Michael and son installs your new water heater for free and takes care of all your routine maintenance and repairs.
That's unbelievable for $19 a month. Oh, Michael and his son are the best.
Lease your water heater starting at $19 a month only from Michael and son.
If you can, we can. Michael and son.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
When a loved one, your father, your sister, your aunt, your grandparent, is facing a cancer diagnosis, you want them to have access to the most promising cancer treatments available. I'm Sinequa Martin Green, and when my mother was diagnosed with cancer, our world changed forever. I wanted to know that she was getting the best treatments available. This experience made me so passionate about spreading awareness of treatment options, including clinical trials. That's why I'm joining Standards of Cancer to get information to the people who need it most, those who have been diagnosed with cancer and their loved ones. Clinical trials introduce new hope for patients, providing access to cutting-edge and potentially life-saving new treatments, while patients receive the best current care or treatments available. My hope is that all people diagnosed with cancer have access to effective treatments that will make them long-term survivors, like my mom. Talk to your doctor to see if a clinical trial may be the best choice for you or a loved one. To learn more, visit standuptocancer.org/clinical trials today.
It's 6:30, and at the top of the news, President Trump has declared the coronavirus pandemic a national emergency in order to free up more money and resources. He has also thrown his support behind an aid package from Congress that the House approved early this morning, on track now to provide direct relief to Americans. The aid package from Congress would provide free tests, sick pay for workers, and bolster food programs. The crush of late-day activity caps a tumultuous week in Washington. The Trump administration will broaden testing for the coronavirus with a flurry of new measures that were announced. Federal officials announcing a new effort to screen thousands of patients at drive-through testing sites. The shift came a day after one of the government's top health officials called the initial testing effort a failing, and healthcare professionals, politicians, and patients across the country complained about the lack of access to testing in the U.S. Public confusion has persisted over who should be tested and how to get checked for the disease. Election officials in the four states holding presidential primaries next week say they have no plans to postpone voting, and widespread disruptions caused by the coronavirus outbreak will not be a factor. They say they are confident voters will be able to safely cast their ballots on Tuesday. They have been scrambling to recruit replacements for poll workers who are dropping out over fears of contracting the virus. They're providing cotton swabs for voters to use on touchscreen machines, extending absentee voting deadlines. Louisiana announced plans to postpone its primary. It was scheduled for early April. They're moving it to June. In Maricopa County, Arizona, voting will be by mail in Maricopa County. Also on the campaign trail, Joe Biden's foray into virtual campaigning has gotten off to a rocky start. The Democratic presidential frontrunner tried to hold a town hall with Illinois voters from 800 miles away in Delaware. It was a Facebook live stream, but it cut off his introduction. The campaign ended the event after roughly 5 minutes, apologizing for, quote, technical difficulties. Yesterday's event occurred as the 2020 presidential race enters a new virtual phase because of the coronavirus and warnings from health officials against large gatherings. Bernie Sanders staging daily news conferences from Vermont instead of his usual rallies with thousands of supporters. 6:33, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Maryland and Bowie, the earlier accident on 50 westbound at 301 Crane Highway cleared. All travel lanes have been reopened. Elsewhere, keep in mind that on Pennsylvania Avenue northbound between Donnell Drive and Walters Lane, that portion of the roadway closed for accident investigation work. And also keep in mind there is road work right now that has the Intercounty Connector closed eastbound between Georgia Avenue and Lake Hill Road again for weekend work on the tolling system. Detours are in place. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy and cooler on this Saturday. High temperatures today in the upper 50s. Rain develops after sunset tonight. Lows in the mid-30s in the outlying suburbs. Lower 40s downtown. Morning showers on Sunday. They should end in the late morning. Some late-day clearing. Highs in the lower 50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 6:34 on WMAL. The current temperature in Washington, 48 degrees.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Hey, Larry O'Connor here for New Look Home Design. Can you believe that spring is just around the corner? With that comes a good old-fashioned spring cleaning. Did you also know that most people replace their roofs during this time of year? It's a great way to refresh and protect your home from the inside out. And this is where owner Patrick Fingles and our friends over at New Look Home Design come in. They have a fantastic deal going on right now that'll help you save big on your roofing project. Through March 31st, get 60% off roofing materials and interest-free financing until 2025. That's 5 full years of interest-free financing. And to help you take advantage of this amazing offer, they're treating this time of year like the holidays at your favorite department store, staying open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. They've installed over 30,000 roofs, and every roof comes with a lifetime warranty. Call 800-279-5300. 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. It's roofing season.
You're listening to the Saturday Morning Update. It is great to have you with us, and it is always great to be joined by Jennifer Harper. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Well, good morning, everybody.
A tumultuous week in the news dominated by the coronavirus headlines. The president holding a news conference Friday afternoon at the White House seems to have changed the entire trajectory at the end of the week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the president gets an A-plus for that, and so do all the folks who were with him. President Trump, he held his own with some very succinct specifics, and he got out a very practical message to the nation. I think he probably reassured a lot of people out there. But, boy, howdy, some members of the press were just back to their old tricks. They were kind of making a whole unfortunate return to their hostile habits. You know, trying to trip him up on a couple of questions. They were taking him to task over whether or not he was going to be tested for the virus and whether it was safe for them to be handing a microphone back and forth. That was one of the questions during there. And all of this is happening during a national emergency. So you have to wonder about that. But on the other hand, at the timing of this 3 p.m., there were a lot of Americans who got to see that who might not have been watching before. You know, it was a daytime audience, and they probably got to witness a lot of what people have complained about the press in recent years, about, you know, not to be ignoring decorum and so forth and so on. And also the analysis that went on after it, immediately there was some criticism going on, but not as much as I thought there would be. And one last point, Rick, which I thought was really significant, the fact that the president had those experts up there with him, that they all represented the nation's most trusted, recognizable brands. And that is immediately going to resonate with Americans. I mean, he had the folks, the lead CEOs of Walmart, Target, Google, CVS, it was great. And big surprise at the end, market surged over almost 2,000 points. So he got some good marks all around on that.
So many questions about his contact with people who have been infected with the virus. He didn't show any physical or visible symptoms of having the coronavirus when he stood up there. And I was watching very closely because there's been so many questions about that. And I thought that was reassuring as well.
Yeah, it really was. He looked robust up there. He looked confident. And I just think he did a great job. That was a very tough week for everybody. And, you know, certainly we've got some challenges to face. But I think he started us off on this new journey in a very good way.
There's been a constant drumbeat over the past month of the president and the administration being inept and criticism in the wake of a national emergency when you would hope maybe we would see some unity. How is that reflecting in the poll numbers for the Democrats?
Guess what? The Democratic Party, their image has taken a big hit. This week, or surrounding this week, I should say, there is a new poll out from Gallup this week, which is indicating that the public is noticing that the hostility of the press towards the president may not be playing well in Peoria and elsewhere. Here is what Gallup has to say. More Americans approve of the job congressional Republicans are doing than of congressional Democrats' performance. 40% approve of Republicans versus 35% for the congressional Democrats. And but let's move on down to how President Trump has benefited from all this. This is coming directly from Gallup. They say, just as the public assessments of congressional Republicans appear to have benefited from Trump's impeachment, so has Trump. In January and February, the president's job approval rating rose to his personal best of 49%, it remains elevated from where it was before his impeachment. Likewise, Trump's favorability rating, which was 41% in October, is at 48% now, and that's including 89% favorability rating among Republicans. So the takeaway message there in that poll, anyway, is that the impeachment and all the hostility is actually helping President Trump. And let's move very quickly down to an Economist YouGov poll. This was conducted March 8th through 10 and released this week also. And I'll just read you one number out of this, and this will help you. 43% of U.S. adults think that the Democratic Party is, quote, more divided than usual. And only 12% say that about the Republican Party. And that's kind of a very telling thing, because the public is starting to get the message that things are perhaps, a little panicky there in the Democratic Party.
Been a number of public events that have been canceled. I could take a half hour to run down the list, but there are some that continue.
Yes, and they happen to be among our Trump fans in a big way. And I must tell you, the Trump fans are soldiering on here, coronavirus or not. In fact, yesterday they were all organizing watch parties so they could watch Mr. Trump's Friday press conference yesterday. But anyway, watch parties aside, there is one particular very resolute group of Trump fans, and they're forging ahead with all of their campaign outreach. They have a lot of events planned. This is a kind of a high-profile group. You may not have heard of them. They're called the Walkaway Campaign. They're a grassroots organization, and they are devoted to persuading Democrats who are disgruntled or disenchanted to literally walk away from the party and give President Trump a chance. And this was their message to their members this week. The coronavirus, shamaronavirus, the media-induced hysteria won't stop us. March means things are cranking up a notch around here. In between traveling to events, we're planning college tour stops all over the country, strategizing battleground town halls, and planning the mother of them all, the Walkaway American Women's Town Hall in Nashville. That's what this group is planning, and they've already lined up Lara Trump, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Diamond and Silk, lots of other ladies, and their message is modern feminism has sold a message that victimhood, rage, and nonsensical behavior equals empowerment. Well, women deserve better. This is coming from Brandon Stryker. He is the organizer of this group. And they've also organized an unsilent majority march on Washington later this year, which they want all of the folks who are walking away from the Democratic Party to not be silent anymore. So if you hear that the Trump voters are huddled there with their toilet paper like everybody else behind a locked door, well, they're not.
A mayoral race in New York City, and you've got an interesting story on one of the candidates.
Yeah, this Big Apple election has gotten more interesting because Curtis Sliwa, he is the founder of the Guardian Angels. They've been around for 30 years with their trademark red berets. They patrol the neighborhoods. Big-hearted folks. They've taken some of the scare out of the New York streets, and it looks like Curtis Sliwa has thrown his beret in the ring, and he's taking on Mayor Bill de Blasio, and he says, this is what he is telling the New York Post, "I am the only candidate with the onions to take back the city, have the street cred, and I have bled in the streets. I've given 7 lives, and I only have two left. I'll use them for the city of New York." Again, this is Curtis Sliwa. He's now 65 years old. How about that? And he frets that the bad old days of New York are returning because of the soft-on-crime Democratic policies. He's really angry at the New York State's new bail reform law, et cetera, et cetera. He won't get into the details there. But the New York Post, which follows all kinds of stuff like this, they say Sliwa's platform includes ditching the mayor's security detail and putting more cops in uniform out there to fight crime. He'll also restore proactive foot patrols and encourage voluntary patrols like the Guardian Angels to work with NYPD. So we'll have to watch and see how Mr. Sliwa does against Mr. de Blasio.
After a week like this, you want to get away from it all, and one place to get about as far away from it all as you can is the Arctic. And you have a story from the Arctic.
Yes, I do. I felt like I wanted to get away for a little while, so I wrote about the Arctic this week, and I think our audience will be interested in this, because now underway in the Arctic Ocean is Ice Exercise 2020, otherwise known as ICEX 2020. This is a three-week exercise in operational readiness in the polar region. A lot of people know that's getting very strategic now, and both Russia and China are peeking in on it. But anyway, the big dogs in this exercise, Rick, are a pair of Seawolf-class fast-attack submarines. That is the USS Connecticut out of Bremerton, Washington, and the Los Angeles-class fast-attack submarine, the U.S. Toledo from Groton, Connecticut. And they've gone up there. They've cracked through that polar ice cap, et cetera, and they have built themselves Ice Camp Sea Dragon. This is a temporary military outpost. It's built right there on the ice floes. It includes housing for 45 personnel and a command center. And from a historic point of view, it was named for the Skate-class USS Sea Dragon. That was the first submarine to run under an iceberg in 1960, and it also transited the Northwest Passage underwater through myriad underwater channels, and that is according to Navy historical records. And last but not least, this crew of the Sea Dragon was the first to conduct a baseball game on the polar ice pack at the North Pole. So that's your Arctic lesson for today, and we certainly wish our submarine heroes good luck and Godspeed.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick.
6:46, Saturday morning update, WMAL. I'm sure you've heard about the cancellations, March Madness off for this year. NBA is off for the time being. You've got Major League Baseball delaying opening day, canceling spring training. Probably the first 2 weeks at least of Major League Baseball will be delayed or postponed. NASCAR will be postponing the next 2 weeks of racing. A lot of the concerts are being postponed or canceled. What impact does that have on us? Well, we're going to talk about that next with Nicole Fisher. And also, the whole notion of the regulatory restrictions on telemedicine that has really been an impact on that industry for years. Big changes coming with the coronavirus legislation, and we'll talk about that next as well and how that will impact you. First off, right now, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Overall traffic moving well on the Capitol Beltway this morning throughout Maryland and Virginia. An earlier accident in Bowie on 50 westbound at Crane Highway cleared all lanes open there. Keep in mind that on 395, the express lanes are closed for weekend road work between Etzel Road and the 14th Street Bridge, but the main lanes are running at speed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL StormWatch 7 forecast.
Plenty of clouds on this Saturday. Temperatures a lot cooler than yesterday, only reaching the upper 50s. Now showers, they will become more likely after sunset, I think later on this evening. Lows mid-30s to lower 40s by early tomorrow morning. Morning showers, possibly even a mix in the higher elevations, but some late-day clearing for your Sunday, highs in the lower 50s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the StormWatch 7 Weather Center.
48 degrees in D.C. at 6:48 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Thank you for joining us on the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler, and I want to take a few minutes for a little different perspective on the coronavirus. As we've watched much of the media coverage this week, it's been focused on minute-by-minute developments on the latest state to declare a state of emergency or the latest school system to close on the other side of the country. And I wanted to take a few minutes to look at the bigger picture, and there will be significant implications for all of us, some negative in the short term, but some will actually be positive in the longer term. And we're joined by Nicole Fisher. She is the founder and CEO at Health and Human Rights Strategies here in Washington. She's a senior policy advisor on Capitol Hill. She's also a contributor at Forbes magazine. Nicole, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
some of the short-term implications that are going to be negative, but also we'll move on to some positive things that will develop out of this, as we actually heard at a press conference yesterday at the White House. But the postponement and in some cases cancellation of NCAA March Madness, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, it's not just a sporting event that we watch on television. There's more to it than just those 2 hours. And what do you see as implications for us as a society from this loss of sports in our life?
Well, I think you bring up something really interesting about human behavior that, you know, in our first few weeks of starting to panic about the virus, a lot of these conversations get lost in the mix, but we'll feel them for weeks, if not months. And that is, humans need outlets. And we see this around war. We see it around events like this. When people have a lot of stress in their life, when there's a lot going on that's negative, that might be frightening, we need outlets. We have to laugh. We need to, in most cases, congregate, be with our friends, rely on our family, or, you know, we go to church, we go to sporting events, we go to concerts. We do things that are in big public arena type settings because we enjoy it. We love to rally around teams. I'm a Tar Heel, and I can't imagine a March and April without Duke UNC tournament games, without the NCAA tournament, without one shiny moment. You know, to me, it's just the Masters tournament. They are part of our spring, and I think they might seem silly at face value, but there's so much about the social fabric of America in sport. I think we're actually going to feel the impact of not having those outlets.
And it's similar with the concert industry. Many of the concerts are canceled for the spring season. And again, people who look forward to seeing their favorite artist, it's an escape. It can be a two-hour escape, whether it's a concert, whether it's a sporting event, whether it's a movie. And there's talk that the movie theaters may have to pull back. So it's kind of an across-the-board loss of not only the immediate entertainment, but the escape from reality.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. That's the perfect word. It is an escape. And when all of a sudden we're faced with a lot of shifting dynamics in our life, I mean, people who've never worked from home are going to have to work from home. People who have never homeschooled their children are going to have to learn really quick how to maybe do that. And you know, workers who have hourly jobs, I mean, these are all going to have a huge impact on our day-to-day life, and we need outlets. So it's going to be a really tricky couple weeks.
That's kind of a short-term social implication, and there is something that seems to be very positive that could be happening for the entire medical community and the medical industry. And that is the regulatory situation. We've seen the haste at which there have been developments on testing, companies working together, regulations have been waived. And this is something that you specialize in. You know, we as lay people don't follow this day in and day out, so it's probably not that big of a deal when somebody says, well, we waived a regulation so they can now do this. But from your standpoint, having watched this over the years, how significant is this?
Huge. And I'll give you an example. So, you know, you say regulation. You think about, for many people, it's easier to picture an attorney. And you go to law school, you get your, you know, degree, and then you take a test, and your board exam is for the state you live in. And they have reciprocity. And so sometimes you can go to another state, and they just say, hey, you were there, good enough. Other times they say, oh, there's some nuances to our state law that you really need to understand. And you take a new test. But what it doesn't do is completely sort of waive and undermine the fact that you went to law school and, you know, your knowledge of constitutional law didn't change just because you happen to live in Charleston or in Raleigh, right? You step over the border from one Carolina to the other. In medicine, we have crazy licensure, which, let's be honest, we're all very happy that our, you know, doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners have credentialing and they actually went to school. At the same time, you know, good doctors, even, you know, looking at some of the issues we're facing right now, like epidemiologists, people who have this knowledge base, just because they live over the state line in New Jersey does not mean that they can't do their job well in New York or any other state. And what's happening is we've had state insurance commissioners, and insurance commissioners are, in my mind, a huge hindrance often to getting things done. And telemedicine has, you know, we've heard over the years, telemedicine's going to take off. What hasn't? And one of the reasons it hasn't is because of these state-level rules. Doctors who practice in one state cannot treat a patient in another state. And that's from, imagine a young physician doing surgery. He can't turn on his laptop and talk to a doctor who's done the same surgery for 30 years and ask for advice or say, hey, do you see this? How should I? That doctor can't get reimbursed for it. Hospitals then have to go through all this legal work. And so we just haven't embraced it. And all it took was 24 hours for states to say, yeah, let's do away with that for right now. And I think that's a wonderful example where we're going to see that in crisis, there's a lot of efficiency that we could have embraced decades ago, and we didn't. And if it becomes the new norm, I think we're going to see some really dynamic shifts in patient care.
One of the things we are seeing a lot of during the coronavirus crisis, both in social media and even in news media, is misinformation. And give us an example of one that a lot of people went for and how seriously wrong it was.
Well, I assume you're alluding to the Forbes article I just wrote on Tito's vodka as a hand sanitizer substitute, which it's not. Everyone out there, it is not. It was actually the result of a Good Housekeeping article that was wildly irresponsible. And it was published, and it told people if they took aloe and Tito's vodka and mixed them together, it could be an at-home substitute for hand sanitizer or soap and water. And those kinds of things, they're fun, they're cute, they're clickable. They're not good public health. That is not how to prevent coronavirus spread. It is not actually a good way to prevent anything. And thank you to Tito's vodka for being the ones to get out and say, here are the CDC actual, you know, protocols, regulations, and, you know, have a drink while we're all writing out this stint at home. But, you know, those kinds of things are just silly, and they don't work. So before you try anything, make sure it's a reputable source like the CDC, the Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, someone like that.
Well, you mentioned a couple. What other reliable sources would you recommend that people get accurate information?
Sure. Well, Johns Hopkins has a remarkable live tracker. They're using Harvard and Boston Children's, also have an AI algorithm that they've put up online that allows them to look at hotspots in areas. So your major reputable universities, I would look to those. And in the, you know, CDC, WHO, your standard, you know, the government agencies that are putting out protocol. And here in D.C., a lot of our agencies, what they're putting out for their employees, sort of the rules and guidelines, I think that's also a great place to look. So you know what we're doing here in D.C.
Nicole Fisher, founder and CEO at Health and Human Rights Strategies here in D.C. and also contributor at Forbes magazine. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
6:58 Saturday morning update, WMAL. John Gizzi's coming up right after the 7 o'clock news with Heather Curtis. And John was at that White House press conference yesterday. We'll have the highlights for you. KT McFarland, Cheryl Atkins, and Tony Schaefer on the way, too.
Breaking news.
The coronavirus.
Stay calm.
The risk remains low.
We will prepare for the worst.
The inside story.
I want to thank Bernie Sanders and his supporters.
Every day.
That's why the Democrats are so panicked.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Every 3 hours. That's how often Sarah and Debbie Reynolds, the Reynolds team with Keller Williams Realty, sell a home and put more money in their seller's pocket. Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and it's no wonder Sarah and Debbie Reynolds were named one of the nation's best real estate teams by the Wall Street Journal. They're real estate experts, and they use their exclusive list of thousands of ready buyers in waiting to make sure your home sale happens three times faster and for about 6.5% more money. That's about $30,000 more when compared to the average agent. They're so confident their marketing systems will sell your home for list price that if it doesn't, they'll pay you the difference. That's guaranteed. Hey, don't just take my word for it. You can ask any of the 750 families who sold their home with Sarah and Debbie Reynolds last year alone. Sarah and Debbie Reynolds want to sell your home. Call them right now. 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD or online, DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.